And thanks to the help you get from ASC Certified Technician Dan Burns at Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, we'll get you through it. Even the cold weather we've been having. Dan Burns, good morning. Good to see you again.
Well, good morning. It's good to be here.
And it's a little warmer than it was last week.
A little warmer than it was last night. I was out at one of my granddaughter's hockey games, and last night it was cold and the wind was still blowing pretty hard.
Yeah, that's what gets you.
Right.
For sure.
But it's pretty nice this morning.
But it's about 35 degrees warmer now than it was last Saturday at this time.
Well, I'm all about that.
I'm with you. I would imagine you've seen some troubled vehicles given this cold weather at Lloyd's.
Yeah, you know, although it was not probably a long enough cold spell. It was kind of short-lived, so some people didn't even try to start their cars. But, you know, this actually, just like you are talking about bringing your car in for some work,
mm-hmm.
This is a great time if you've been putting off maintenance or work on your car. This is actually a great time to bring it in. Your shops are kind of between seasons, and you know, people aren't thinking about the cold weather anymore, and they're not quite ready to start thinking about spring travel and all that brings. Spring break,
yep.
Getting cars tuned up for spring break to drive to Florida or whatever, and so this is actually a pretty good time. If you're looking for work, to get a car in and get it scheduled when we're not so busy.
Yeah, you don't have to wait in line.
You won't have to wait in line.
That's good.
This is a good time to bring it.
Now, I've been recently parking my vehicle outside, which I don't usually do.
Yeah.
And it seems, I know.
Wait. Who pays the rent at your house?
that's true. But I was reminded that who owns the oldest car?
Oh, okay.
Anyway.
Oh, boy.
My question is, of course, like me, if I'm outside and it's cold, I don't move as fast.
Right.
And this car felt kind of stiff.
Oh, it does.
Even though I warmed it up.
Yeah.
It seemed like it took a while.
You know, if you want to feel that, come over on one of these 20 below zero mornings when a car's been sitting out on my driveway and we have to push it in. And it is really hard to push. It takes the whole crew to push a small car.
Well, the grease and everything is just solidified.
Everything is stiff, and even the tires are hard. You know, nothing.
True.
Yeah, everything is just cold and stiff, and all of the greases and oils and all that are stiff. And so that's a really significant reason why in this season, or a part of the reason that in this season we get such poor gas mileage. Because it takes a lot of energy to move the car at all.
And I remember, before we open up the phone lines, by the way, if you have a car care question, call it in or text it in, same number, 651-989-9226, if you're going not too far and it's really cold and your car doesn't have a chance to warm up, that's not too good for it.
That's not too good for it. That's
so what Tony and I did, because we went to the gym the other day, I said, let's drive around a while.
Yeah, take the long route.
We did exactly that until it got up to operating temperature. And that does help. I mean, you're using gas, but it does help.
Right. And it's good for the vehicle to get moving. You know, one of the things that you don't think of is, so you start the car and run it for just a few minutes or just a very short drive and park it. And the exhaust doesn't even get hot enough to evaporate the water out of it. And so that's hard on that too. So cars are meant to be run at operating temperature. And other than that, running them too hot and running them too cold is hard on them.
I also remember you said if you don't have to go anywhere and it's going to moderate the temperature, especially in my case, it was in the sunshine.
Right.
I kind of let it get above zero, a little warmer. And that seemed to help start it.
Well, and that's another point. When it's cold like that, and if you go out to your car and it doesn't start right away, stop and just leave it. I mean, if you don't need it. I mean, if you have to get it towed in and get it going that particular day, go ahead and do that. But to sit out there and crank on it, if you just stop, leave it, wait for the weather to warm up by 10 or 20 degrees, and it'll start right up.
Yeah.
And it'll be fine. So, but if you... if you get it super flooded, these cars nowadays get flooded pretty quickly.
Do they really?
And they actually get flooded to the point where the oil washes away from the cylinder walls and they lose compression. So, and then they won't start. You know, once you have no compression, that's a key ingredient for getting it started. So then there's no way to get it going.
We have texts already, and if you want to call in or text in your car care question for Dan, by all means, same number, 651-989-9226. Let's grab some texts before we take a break, a quick one. By the way, Dan will be here only till 7:45, so don't wait. If you have any kind of a car care question, you don't have to be a motorhead or gearhead to ask a question. We do get a lot of do-it-yourselfers on,
we do,
on the show.
Yeah, and I encourage
good,
that.
Good for
that. Do what you can or do what you want.
But you don't have to be.
Yeah, right. Okay. Well, if it's your hobby, that's great.
Absolutely.
Good
fun.
For you. It's fun.
All right. Here's a 13 Fusion, 132,000 miles. Took it in to have transmission fluid checked. They said fluid was very dark and it would do more harm than good to flush it. Is that true? And what exactly does dark fluid mean?
Well, dark fluid would mean that... you know, one of two things. Either it's just that dirty and it's been a really long time since it's been changed, or it's starting to slip a little bit and maybe it has some clutch material or metallic material in the fluid. And I don't know. I couldn't make that judgment without actually seeing the fluid. If it has metal in it and so forth, that's a significant warning sign. But I don't know if it would do any harm to change it. I guess I would not necessarily be afraid to change it. Maybe if it's really bad, one of the things that you want to do is change the filter also.
Uh-huh.
But I don't really think it's going to hurt anything. But I'd have to see the fluid to actually see what the problem with it is.
Yeah, yourself.
You have to do a little analysis.
Sure. Makes sense.
Right.
651-989-9226. Here's a text speaking of cold weather. A texter says, I'm sending a vehicle up to Fargo next winter with my child attending NDSU. It will sit outside all winter in that cold environment. What precautions should I take ahead of time to ensure it will start every day for him?
Battery, spark plugs, and an oil change.
And would a, if able to, a little trickle charger on there?
Well, yeah, but I'm sure up at college you're not going to be able to.
Where are you going to find a plug?
Yeah, you're not going to run a cord to plug. Although maybe they have them up there.
Maybe they do.
Maybe it's cold enough that they do. But that would be a great idea if you can, although block heaters back in the day were a good idea. But
do they even make those
well,
anymore?
They do, but they're almost impossible to install.
Oh.
But cars start good. I mean, that's we don't have on a cold morning. We don't have service calls like we used to on cold mornings. So, but if you have a good, strong, best battery you can buy, freshly tuned up, and new spark plugs, and if you have a good oil change and stay current on your oil change, and put the winter weight oil in, the thinnest oil that you can, that's safe for your vehicle. Those are the main culprits for why a vehicle won't start.
Makes sense. All right, folks on the line, hang on. We're going to take a real fast break here, and we'll grab more texts as well as phone calls. 651-989-9226. And good morning. Welcome back to our Car Care Show. Denny Long here with Dan Burns, who is an ASC certified technician at Lloyd's Automotive, located exactly where?
Exactly at 982 Grand Avenue in St. Paul, right between Lexington and Victoria on Grand Avenue. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net, or give a call this morning. Big Nick will be there, 651-228-1316.
He knows a lot of stuff too, that guy.
He does. You know, he by far does the most volume of service writing at Lloyd's, and so he sees all of these problems come across his desk, and
he could probably diagnose as well as a lot of guys.
I actually go to him for where would you look first if you had this going on, and he's got pretty good ideas.
He does.
Yes, he does.
So get over there.
Get over there, yeah.
All right. We'll get you Dan's number, before Dan leaves us today. If you have any kind of a car problem or vehicle, car, truck, van, call it in or text it in. Let's go to the phones. Edie is calling from Minneapolis, I believe. Edie, thanks for waiting. What's your question?
Yeah, good morning, Dan and Danny. I bought a 2017 RAV4, and they told me that I have to use synthetic oil, and they said that It was like every 10,000 miles, and I just want your opinion on that, Dan.
Yes, you do have to use synthetic oil, and 10,000 miles at the most. My recommendation is always do whatever the manufacturer recommends. My personal opinion is I also drive a Toyota, and I do not go 10,000 miles on my oil change. I go more like 5,000.
Yeah.
So if that feels good to you, don't be afraid to shorten up that interval. But you absolutely have to use synthetic oil.
And by the way, Edie, a good choice on vehicles.
Yeah, a good choice on vehicles.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Yeah, with that, depending, when I guess the synthetic oil, I don't know when they started using 0-20, but that seems to be kind of the rule of thumb for a lot of vehicles these days.
Most, yes. And I can't think of a new car now that does not take synthetic oil.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I think they all take synthetic oil now.
All right, let's go back to the, thanks, CD. Let's go back to the text messages. Here's one that says, I have an 07 Ford Escape, and the heater doesn't seem to get really warm even after warming up. What could be the reason that it doesn't heat up to a toasty temperature?
Well, it will now. The reason is it's cold. The reason is it's cold outside. But that your car should be capable of dealing with the fact that it's cold outside. And so the solution will be that you'll need to take it in and have a new thermostat installed. More than likely, they'll put a new thermostat in, and it'll get it up to operating temperature, and it'll get it up to operating temperature quicker, which is good for the car. So do take it in and have that done, because that's just good for the car. It should be at operating temperature and good for you. It'll keep your toes warm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think this is a little incomplete, this text step. It says, hi, Dan, our son's old Yukon had a hard time starting this week. With some, I think it must mean to have is a little gas in it. Do you recommend using heat, and what is gasoline freeze?
No gasoline freeze. I've never in my life, and I've been doing this a long time, never seen gasoline freeze. Even back in the days when we used to put alcohol in the gas all the time, any time during the winter when it was cold, the car always came in and it was flooded.
So this could be other issues.
Too much gas. Well, and then, so I've never seen it.
Yeah.
And secondly, nowadays, all of the gas has alcohol in it already. So, and that's what heat is an alcohol that will absorb any moisture that's in the gas tank, which is a good idea. It's a good idea to absorb the moisture out of your gas tank. So I'm not saying that heat or alcohol is not a good idea, because it is. It keeps all the moisture out, which can cause problems in your gas tank mm-hmm. and in your fuel system. But the oil companies are taking care of that for us because the gas already has alcohol in it. So that's all handled. So if you had trouble starting it, it was probably one of those ingredients I talked about at the beginning of the show. You need a good, strong battery. You need a fresh oil change. And you need new spark plugs and good secondary ignition. And if you have all of that, it'll start.
I haven't read, you know, maintenance-wise, as far as manufacturers, how often are spark plugs changed these days?
Well, it's pretty common. They go 100,000 miles.
Wow.
And one of my arguments that you have to be a little bit careful of, unless you drive an average amount, it takes way too long to get to 100,000 miles. And those spark plugs are in the car too long. I mean, if you leave them stuck in the cylinder head for 10 years or more, that can get to be a problem with getting them out. So be a little bit aware of that. But no, it's pretty common that spark plugs, and it's because of the metals that they're made out of. You know, a spark is actually an electrical happening where the electricity jumps from one side of the spark plug from the center point of the spark plug to the little tab. And in doing so, it's just like almost like a welder. That spark causes the metal to burn away. Mm. And as that metal burns away, the gap gets way too wide, and then the car has trouble starting. Well, now with these new metals that they use, that doesn't happen. It doesn't burn away anymore. And so the gap stays consistent through the life of the car.
Interesting. Never heard that explanation before.
Yeah, that's why they last 100,000 miles now.
Wow. All right. Now, this you'd probably like to have in your shop to check it out yourself, Because sometimes a little text message doesn't give you a whole lot of information. The truck, texter says, truck makes a loud whining sound at 50 to 60 miles an hour. If I let off the gas, it stops.
Hmm. Yeah, well, that kind of sounds like a pump of some sort. I'm wondering, like the pump in the transmission or something like that. But you answered the question for me, Denny. That's one you kind of got to hear.
Yeah.
Like, where's the whine coming from and what is it?
Would you take it out for a drive?
Yeah, oh, for sure. Yeah. If you bring your car in to Lloyd's for an oil change, we take it for a drive.
Well, you do?
We do. So it's just one of the things that we do that it needs to go down the bumpy alley and listen for rattles and so forth. So that's just part of the service that we do.
Interesting. Did not know that.
Yeah. Well, I don't with yours because you know enough about it. you're so sensitive about your car. You complain about everything.
Well, that's just me. Kind of crazy.
Right. Yeah. But.
Yeah. In fact, you're going to be taking a little look at my vehicle.
I will.
Yeah.
Yep.
We'll do that. We'll talk about that later. In the meantime, let's invite our listeners. I know we have callers on the line and texters as well. Keep in mind, if you have any kind of a car care question, Dan will be here till just about 7:45. So don't wait. Call it in, text it in, and we'll help you out. 651-989-9226 is the phone number and the text number, for that matter. So folks on the line, as I said, hang on, and texters as well. Welcome back to our Car Care Show. Denny Long here with Dan Burns, who is an ASC certified technician at Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. And Dan, as usual, we have callers, we have texters. So let's put you back to work here. Let's go to the phones. Rick is calling, I believe, from Forest Lake. Hi, Rick. What's your question?
Good morning. So I don't have a question, but I have an experience that happened to me just the other day. I drove over to Wisconsin to visit some friends, and my truck, a 2015 Colorado, sat out overnight, and it got really cold Thursday night. It was like 18, 20 below. Anyway, when I drove home on Friday, the truck barely started, but it did start. I started back, and the driving, and then all of a sudden, listened to the radio, no audio in the truck, nothing. I couldn't get anything to work. I mean, I couldn't even hear the blinkers, and my cell phone, which is connected via Bluetooth, I couldn't get that to work. And so I thought, wow, what's going on? Anyway, I drove back to... I thought the truck was working fine otherwise, at least I thought so. The lights, I assumed it was in daylight, so I guess I didn't need the lights. But I drove to the dealership in Forest Lake, drove into the bay, turned the car off, told the guy about it. He said, well, give me the keys, started it, and everything worked. And I thought, wow, what is going on? I mean, this is like the Twilight Zone, and so I don't know if that was like a reboot. But then everything was fine. Everything was fine. I thought, well, maybe something, froze, a fuse or broke or something like that. I thought, well, I better get it fixed. I don't want to drive around in complete silence and not have anything work.
I think Rick had a close encounter.
You know, that's actually a pretty common story.
Is it really?
Yeah, we hear that quite a bit. And when it's 20 below, I say you just have no idea that it's really asking a lot of our cars. And that's a really common story of where I was having some sort of trouble. You know, like sometimes a transmission won't shift or something like that, they'll say. And I pulled over, turned the car off, waited a minute and started the car again, and everything worked just fine. And I think he used the right word. It's a reboot, and I think that's what happens is you turn the car off, you power all the modules down. When you start the vehicle again, it goes through a self-test just like your computer or your phone when you turn it back on, and the car, it fixes itself in that process. So good. I bet you'll never experience in that again. I bet it's just fine.
Until it turns 20 below.
Well, even then, you never know.
No.
I mean, it might have just been a coincidence, but probably not. Probably the cold had something to do with it.
Interesting story. Thank you, Rick. We still have time. 651-989-9226. That's the number for a phone call or a text, whatever you choose. Here's a text. Speaking of which, 2011 Toyota Corolla that has the original battery. How long should I expect the battery life to last?
Yeah, you're pushing it.
You're gambling there.
I think that you've done just fine with it. You can certainly take it in and have the battery tested, but if you have the original battery in there and it's 9 years old, you're due for a new battery. So,
what's the longest time you've heard of a battery lasting?
Yeah, a long time. I mean, I've heard 15 years or more.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Whoa.
But you know,
that's the exception.
It's the exception, not the rule, and must be under just perfect conditions where that'll happen. But batteries. The metals in the battery actually deteriorate, and that's part of the design. And as they deteriorate, then they lose their power. And so, you're doing well to have gotten 9 years out of it. I would not push my luck.
Like vehicles, are they making batteries better these days?
They are. Yes. Well, just think of the batteries that you buy for, you know, all of the different gadgets that you have at home, and they're remarkable. And your cell phone battery. I mean, the fact that that lasts all day or a couple days, even if you don't use it too much.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, batteries are incredible, and that's actually, I think, one of the things that's going to change the world. The technology with batteries is going to make electric cars work better and get longer distance and not need to be charged as often, and they'll make them smaller and lighter weight. And, battery technology in this world is going to be a big deal.
Do you and your folks there at Lloyd's, the Master Mechanics, do you all have to learn about electric cars too, I presume, these days?
We do, although they're not... You know, it's kind of been an evolution. We've had hybrid cars around for a long time,
right.
You know, gas and electric together. And the electric cars are not significantly different than that. And everybody says, well, I get an electric car, I won't need any maintenance. And that's just not true. Every car has moving parts, and every moving part wears out. So that's... Don't fool yourself and think an electric car will mean that you never have any maintenance anymore, because you will. You know, it still needs tires, it still needs brakes, it still has wheel bearings, and it still has steering and suspension.
What about lubrication of the various sorts in an electric car?
Lubrication of the – well, the electric motor does have a service that gets done on it from time to time. It's
there's no oil changes per se, but what about like the steering and the wheels, the wheel bearings?
And actually on most cars nowadays, steering and all of that is all electric also. Most steering racks anymore are not hydraulic. Most of them are becoming electric nowadays, and that's all good thing. You know, that's all good stuff to eliminate all these fluids. But there's still lots of service to be done.
All right. Another text says this, my 2012 Buick LaCrosse, the trunk will open at times when I do not activate the opener. No clutter in the cubby that would hit the button, but at the time I come to the garage or parking lot, the trunk is open.
You know, that has a soft touch switch. In other words, if you go to open the door, you just barely touch this rubber pad on the back of the door, and over time that rubber gets deteriorated and stiff, and I think what's happened is that rubber is probably causing the switch not the terminals in the switch not to separate enough, and under different temperatures under different temperatures it can actually contract and cause that switch to open the door. The answer is I think that switch on the exterior of the door will need to be replaced. We do that quite frequently, actually.
Texter says, what is the best battery my money will buy, can buy?
You know,
there's a few out there.
There are. And I, without naming a brand, I think with batteries you pretty much get what you pay for. And there's only... you know, two or three or four battery manufacturers anyways. There's lots of brands, but they're all made by the same, you know, battery companies to the manufacturer's spec. So I think with batteries, you pretty much get what you pay for. Buy a good brand or a good brand name, and I think you'll be fine.
We have about a minute, Dan. Maybe we can feel this in a minute. Acura MDX 3.7 liter engine rebuilt under an oil consumption recall with new pistons and rings, but refused to put the new plugs in at 100,000 miles. Also, they dropped the oil pan, but did not put a new oil filter on either. Was this corner cutting by the Acura dealer? What would you have done in that case?
Well, I certainly would have done all of that.
Sure.
But, you know, the recall, the manufacturer only allows for certain things to be done, and they'll do only what the manufacturer is paying them for. That's fair. And so, but I, if it was my car, I would have paid the extra and had it done.
I know you guys are open today till noon. How do we get in touch with you at Lloyd's?
Give us a call. We're at 651-228-1316, or come on over, 982 Grand Avenue in St. Paul. You sure can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, LLOYDS.
I'll see you this week, and we'll see you 1 week from today right here.
Sounds good.
All right.